The age of sacred terror is not just the age of Islamic terror. In a world turning more religious, more adherents of the great faiths and new, burgeoning cults are placing violence at the heart of their beliefs. The last two centuries of the history of the Muslim world and the sad economic and political state of its many countries have given militants like bin Laden a platform to spread their creed, thus putting radical Islamists at the forefront of those who kill in the name of God. But they are hardly alone. And with increasingly easy access to technologies of mass killing, small groups of believers can inflict unimaginable damage. Jews, Christians, and members of one of the new religions of Japan have used terror strategically in the last decade, some of them killing on a scale without precedent in the recent history of their faiths. Over the last 350 years, the West has worked hard to keep religion out of the dealings between states. The banishment of religion from the repertoire of acceptable reasons to wage war has its origins in the famous Treaty of Westphalia of 1648. In recent years, the treaty has been much discussed as the foundation of the modern system of nation-states, entities whose sovereignty within their borders is inviolable. The treaty did not, as is often said, create freedom of religion, though it did establish a new level of tolerance and security for Catholics and Protestants living in lands ruled by princes of the other confession, nor did it provide for any kind of separation of religion and state. Instead, it reaffirmed and clarified the right of the prince to determine the religion of his country. In other words, it made it illegitimate for one country to make war against another for reasons of religion, so that one true faith could be imposed on another. The princes and diplomats who met in the German cities of Münster and Osnabrück established this new order because of the desperate experience of the Thirty Years' War. The conflict, which drew in forces from most of Europe, left more destruction behind it than any event since the Black Death. Many reasons lay behind the conflict: the ferocity of the killing and the devastation that consumed Europe from Alsace to Bohemia was fueled by religious hatred between Protestant and Catholic. Those who wrecked Germany were usually spurred on by cynical leaders, but in their hearts, most of the combatants believed they were carrying out acts of piety. When the war ended, many cities had less than half the people they began with. Some towns had only a fifth. Insofar as the conflict left a mark on the West, it was a deep, subliminal sense of the peculiarly horrible nature of religious war. Religious violence is generally different from any other kind of warfare, for the simple reason that for a true believer, there is no compromise about the sacred. Or to put it in a more monotheistic key, one God, one truth. Tolerance is not an intrinsic part of any of the monotheistic religions. For some believers, the outcome of a conflict cannot be ambiguous. When the issues are sacred demands, there can be no bargaining. The believer cannot compromise on the will of God. Killing becomes an end in itself, rather than one instrument arrayed among non-lethal instruments in a bargaining process. Such believers want a lot of people dead and may not care whether a lot of people are watching, as long as God sees what has been done in his name. Why, looking back over earlier periods, does it seem as though monotheism and violence go hand in hand? Part of the answer lies in the enduring influence of the Hebrew Bible on Christianity and Islam. The great preoccupation of the Hebrew writers was to take a newly formed people and give them a distinctive identity. The books of the Bible were meant to tell the Israelites who they were and how they came to be. Like societies elsewhere, this community carved out its identity by differentiating itself from the surrounding peoples. One central biblical message to the children of Israel was, "You are who you are, because you are not the other." The lesson is reinforced in innumerable ways. The Israelites have a unique covenant with the one God and a territory belonging to them alone. Their cultic practices and social customs are different from their neighbors. They possess true nationhood, unlike others who worship false gods that cannot confer this special status. Nations such as the Amalek, whose claims conflict with those of God's people, are placed under a total ban that requires their complete destruction. And the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation."